news and more, including state-by-state reports on the nation's premier youth organization. This is FFA Today on Rural Radio 147.
Hello and welcome to this week's FFA Today. I'm your host, Janet Atkinson, and what an amazing time we had at the 92nd National FFA Convention and Expo. So much excitement and so many big winners. And on today's show, we're going to meet several of them, starting with two of the biggest, your newly elected National FFA President and National Secretary.
For FFA Today, I'm Hannah Borg. Congratulations to Colson McCoy, who was just newly elected National FFA President. Colson, tell me, what were you experiencing in that moment when they called your name up on stage?
In that moment, I was really shocked. I was amazed to be able to look up and see my name and face up on the screen. And then as I heard my name, I kind of ran up. I slipped a little bit, but I made my way up to the stage, and I looked to my left and my right, and I saw amazing people around me, and I saw a great group of people down there on the floor as well. And so just that moment, I was so humbled and incredibly excited to be able to see what was going to be next.
You have a year of service ahead of you and going to meet lots of people, but introduce yourself to the National FFA organization.
I'm Colson McCoy. I'm from Springfield, Ohio. I'm a Buckeye. I'm attending the Ohio State University right now, studying agribusiness and applied economics. I am by nature an optimist, and I'm really excited to be able to travel around this year and meet people from all corners of the country. I'm thrilled to be an authentic advocate for our industry, and to be able to be the voice for our students at the national level on our board, and be able to just engage and have those small, important, and memorable moments with people everywhere.
Take us back to where you first began your FFA journey, and why did you want to be an FFA?
Yeah, so we're going to flashback all the way back to eighth grade. A brand new school had opened up in downtown Springfield. My original high school did not have an ag program, but lo and behold, a brand new school opened up. It was a STEM school, so all the curriculum was based around ag bioscience and incorporating that into STEM-based curriculum. I joined the program that they had had there, and my agricultural educator came up to me from Global Impact STEM Academy and said, "We are looking to start an FFA chapter. Are you interested?" And I said, "Sure, let's do it," and we kind of went on a roller coaster of an adventure from there. And I pursued a lot of CDEs and LDEs and fell in love with the people in this industry. And I pursued state office there later in my high school years, elected as state secretary, then state president, and decided to pursue the national level.
So tell me more about some of your involvements in FFA and more of those CDs and what activities you were involved in.
So we were really science-based, heavy school. I did a lot with agri-science. We did STEM fair projects. I also branched out and do food science and technology. On top of that, I did a lot of LDEs, like extemporaneous public speaking. That was my absolute favorite one. And I really enjoyed public speaking, anything along those lines with a prepared speaking contest. And then last but not least, I did job interview. That was my first CDE that really got me interested and passionate about what we do in the FFA.
So why did you want to run for National FFA office?
So for me, I've always said I just genuinely love people. I believe in this industry wholeheartedly. I believe in what the FFA stands for as an organization. And when I see the people around me, I'm just constantly inspired to be able to take so much of these great mentors that I've had in my life. Everything that they poured into me, I want to turn that around and pour into those around me. And I'm excited and I'm thrilled. And that's ultimately what served as my fuel to run for national office.
So now you have the National FFA President as your title. So what are you really hoping to accomplish throughout your year of service?
I genuinely hope that beyond this jacket, I can just be a friend to all who are in and out of the blue jackets. I want to be that friend to everyone that they can turn to in a moment's notice. And I also want to be able to represent our organization incredibly well and just be able to impact people left and right and be able to share wonderful memories and share specific moments of the people around me.
Who would you like to thank for helping you get here today?
There's so many people, it'd be hard to list. But honestly, I just look back at the program that got me started on this journey, Global Impact STEM Academy, the staff and the faculty that were all involved in encouraging me, my agri-science educators, the students in my classroom on my left and my right. And then even beyond that, I look at the state level, and we have a great state staff back in Ohio. They're my reason, really, that encouraged me to pursue this blue jacket at the national level. I would thank them incredibly well. And then my family, they've been the one focal point in my life that consistently, despite the backgrounds or the different experiences that I've been on and been a part of, they have encouraged me along the entire way.
So what was the best advice that you got through this entire journey?
The best piece of advice I ever received as a member in the FFA was begin now, early on in your career in FFA, to look left and right. So easy, we get caught up and focus on, you know, the next degree in the FFA or the next competition that we can be a part of. But ultimately, what makes the FFA is the people around us, the students to our left and right, the ag teachers behind us and supporting us along the way, and the industry sponsors and supporters that are encouraging us and funding and believing in what we do.
You have a long ways to go before you're retiring from FFA, a lot of experiences to happen, but what are some of your career goals after your service in FFA?
So as I mentioned, I'm studying agribusiness and applied economics. I've always told myself that if I can check a couple boxes, I want to be able to be involved in the ag industry in some way, shape, or form, and I want to be able to be with people. Ultimately, those are the things that encourage me, that inspire me, and I want to be able to pursue that. So I could see myself maybe working as an advocate for the industry at the federal level, working in somewhere along those lines, maybe American Farm Bureau, Ohio Farm Bureau, or other advocacy groups.
You just heard from Colson McCoy. So now I have the pleasure to be joined by the newly elected National Secretary, Courtney Lehman. Courtney, tell me a little bit of what you were feeling that moment they called your name and you ran up to stage.
I can't even begin to describe it. It was the most exciting moment, and I literally thought I was going to pass out. I'm not sure how I got on stage, but I'm just so overwhelmed, so excited to be with all of my teammates and start to get to know them and all the members of Oregon or National FFA.
So you're going to meet lots of people along this journey, but tell me more about yourself and introduce yourself to now the National FFA organization.
Well, the first few years of my life were spent on a dairy in western Idaho. Since then, my family's moved to Oregon, where we now have our own farm, and I get to spend every summer raking and baling hay, which I absolutely love to work alongside my dad and my brother. I'm grateful to have an amazing family in eastern Oregon. They're always there for me, and I now attend state school at Oregon State University, where I study agricultural business management.
Take me back to where you began in FFA and your home chapter and just kind of why you wanted to be in FFA.
Honestly, I joined FFA because my agriculture teacher at the time, Seth Bingham, found me at the county fair and said, "Hey, you're a pretty good livestock judger. Come join us in FFA so you can do it with us." And from that moment, it just kind of spurred from there. He just taught me to love FFA for my first 2 years of high school. And then I got a new advisor, Bibiana Gift, who is my best friend and has taught me everything I need to know about agriculture, but also just about life in general. And because of those two individuals, I fell in love with the program and everything it has to offer.
Tell me some of your involvements through your FFA journey.
Just like good advisors, they made me do everything, even if I didn't want to, from meets evaluation to prepared public speaking, which I was terrified of, to extemporaneous marketing. Anything they could throw me on a team for, they did. And I'm so thankful for that because not only did I have experiences I never thought I would, but I figured out that I have interests that I never would have experienced and never would have found myself exploring without their push from the beginning.
Tell me about the decision of why you wanted to run for National FFA office.
When I thought back on my FFA journey, I realized that when I was in high school, I had trouble finding my place. And I never felt like I was good enough and felt like I had to pretend to be someone to fit in with the popular kids or be a different person depending on where I was. But with my FFA chapter, they were a family to me. And they always just loved me as Courtney. And they made me feel like I could just be myself in this jacket. And not only that, but I could push myself to be the best version of who I am.
What are some of the goals that you're hoping to accomplish in your year of service this year?
My biggest goal this year is for every member I encounter to help them realize that they are enough, and every agriculturalist as well. We have amazing people in this world who do so much for us, whether it's feeding and clothing the world as agriculturalists or offering the special gifts that make us who we are as FFA members. I want every person I interact with to know that they are enough, and I'm so excited to figure out what makes them who they are.
Who would you like to thank for helping you get here today?
I'd love to thank both my ag teachers, Bibiana Gift and Seth Bingham, as well as my parents and my family, my grandparents, all of my friends that have stood by me through every trial and triumph in life. Without them, I wouldn't be the person I am today, and I never, ever would have found myself up on that stage.
What was the best advice that you got along your journey applying for National FFA office?
Before I left here, my dad always told me just to be myself, that I am enough because of the person I am. He said, "Court, if you walk in those interviews and they don't like you for who you are, then that's okay, because you're enough. You're the person that you were created to be, and that's what you really have to focus on." And that's what I'd offer every FFA member is we all have little things that make us who we are. We have strengths, we have weaknesses, but we're enough.
What are you looking forward to the most in your year of service?
I'm really excited for the travel. I grew up in a small town in eastern Oregon, so I'm excited to see what this world has to offer, both in terms of agriculture and just the culture of people and what their homes and their experiences are like and how they can use that to make the world a better place.
In a year from now, when you hang up your blue jacket, what's next for you in your career?
Head back to school to finish up my major in agricultural business management, and then at this time I intend to go to law school to pursue ag law. It's my hope to fight for agriculturalists in the courtroom or creating policies that allow us to do our job more efficiently of feeding and clothing the world.
Congratulations to Courtney Lehman of Oregon. She was just newly elected the National FFA Secretary. Reporting for FFA Today, I'm Hannah Borg.
Well, thanks to FFA Today convention correspondent Hannah Borg for those interviews, and we'll be meeting the rest of the brand new officer team in the weeks to come. Well, stay tuned. FFA members weren't the only ones excited about last week's convention. Hear how elected officials from across Indiana respond to the annual convention next on FFA Today. Welcome back to the show. And now we check in with FFA Today convention correspondent Carissa Larry, who caught up with Indiana's Lieutenant Governor and the Director of Agriculture, Suzanne Crouch and Bruce Kettler, as well as Indianapolis Mayor Joe Hogsett, who says they are thrilled to host the annual event and urge others to give back to the FFA in the way that the FFA has given back so much to the community that hosts them this time each year.
This is Carissa Lehr reporting for FFA Today here with Lieutenant Governor Suzanne Crouch and Indiana Director of Agriculture here, Bruce Kettler. So you are a former member of the Economic Development Task Force and a big supporter now for the Indiana Department of Agriculture. How does agriculture affect the economy of Indiana?
Oh my goodness, agriculture is a huge part of Indiana's economy. First of all, you have to understand that 83% of Indiana is either farmland, woodland, or forests. And so we have some 58,000 Hoosier farming families here in Indiana. The agriculture contributes $31 billion to our state's economy. That's huge. And we're number one in duck. And top five is poultry and chicken and hogs.
Corn, and soybeans, tomatoes. Mm-hmm. Number two in tomatoes.
So it is a big, big part of our agriculture. It is a big part of our economy.
The FFA will be reaching their centennial year pretty soon, and Indiana will have a huge factor here in the FFA. What are your hopes for the years to come?
Well, first of all, as I said earlier, we're just absolutely thrilled that FFA is headquartered here in Indianapolis and then holds their national convention. It's a competitive process, so we have to bid for those conventions, and we're just proud that we were able to put together a package that attracts 70,000 young people, future leaders of America, to our capital city and to our state, and to be able to experience the enthusiasm and the creativity and the entrepreneurship that these young people demonstrate is very rewarding for Bruce and I. So what the future is going to bring is those young people who are actually going to unlock our future. They're the ones that are going to provide the solutions to the challenges that we have. How are we going to feed all those people by the year 2050?
Yes.
I think we're supposed to have go from
9 or 10 billion. So it's a lot of people.
Yes. So, it's about feeding Hoosiers, it's about feeding our country, and it's about feeding the world. And that is what these young people are going to do.
And so, Bruce, you are a state FFA officer in Ohio and a national FFA officer. Could you tell me about that and how those experiences follow now?
Well, they were very formative experiences for me, certainly. I think what both of those allowed me to do, particularly when I was a national officer because I traveled around the country and, in fact, even went to Japan as part of that experience, it helped me to understand certainly the global reach of agriculture. But the big thing for me was it allowed me to kind of expand my horizons in terms of understanding that ag was more than just the corn and soybeans and dairy in the part of Western Ohio where I grew up. I understood the entire chain of what it took. So not only just the production part of agriculture, but understanding the processing piece that goes to make sure that food that's produced on the farm or the commodities that are produced on the farm, how they get to our groceries and how we are as consumers are able to use them. So it really broadened my horizons about the depth of this industry.
And the Indiana FFA Association being housed in the Department of Agriculture, tell me about that structure and how that's unique here for Indiana.
Well, it's unique as compared to a lot of states. And, you know, several years ago, there was a lot of folks in this state said, we want to make sure that we're supporting the ag education and FFA programs to a large degree. And it just made sense to kind of house it in the Department of Agriculture, because it allows us then as a department to understand the future, what those young people are experiencing, what they're learning. And then I think it allows us to have a closer connection to what we as a department have to think about in the future in terms of economic development, soil conservation, and all the other divisions. And it's been a wonderful move. It's been one that's everybody's certainly glad to have.
Lieutenant Governor Suzanne Crouch and Indiana Director of Agriculture Bruce Kettler
and Mayor of Indianapolis Joe Hogsett. How do you feel about the FFA as far as Indianapolis and development here in agriculture?
I don't think there's any question, but what the FFA is one of our premier conventions every single year. And Indianapolis wants to roll out the red carpet every year FFA comes here, because it's a fantastic convention, it's a fantastic exposition, and we want to support it in any way we can.
And the FFA has done many things for Indianapolis, and it's been a great plus for Indianapolis. Throughout your years here for mayor, what have you seen the most that helps Indianapolis?
Yeah, it's the day of service. It's the commitment that FFA has to give back to the city of Indianapolis, and we are the beneficiaries. So while we are a host city, really, we are ennobled by FFA's presence here in Indianapolis. We are proud to have FFA here, and the fact that you're going to come back through 2031 as mayor, I just want to encourage the community to support FFA in every way we can. And when FFA is here, I want to encourage any FFA member to spend as much money in Indianapolis as they can. I wouldn't be mayor if I didn't say that.
You guys had it. That is the mayor of Indianapolis here for the 92nd National Convention for the FFA. Thank you for having us.
Oh, I'm glad to be here, and I'm glad to have FFA here.
This is Carissa Larry for FFA Today.
Well, it certainly is wonderful to hear so many kind words about the organization from those distinguished men and women. And we look forward to visiting their home turf again next year, and of course, for many years to come. Well, don't go anywhere. We'll meet the 2019 American Star Farmer next on Rural Radio 147. Well, thanks for tuning in this week. And now, one of the most anticipated moments of each convention is the announcement of the American Star winners. Congratulations to Andrew Streff from South Dakota, this year's American Star in Agricultural Placement, and to Courtney Cameron of Georgia, the American Star in Agriscience, both of whom paid a visit to this show just last month. Blake Kennedy from Oklahoma took home the prize for American Star in Agribusiness. And finally, Willis Wolf of California was this year's American Star Farmer. And FFA Today contributor and host of the Off-Farm Income Podcast, Matt Breckwald, sits down with him now.
Joining me today is Willis Wolf, and he is coming to us from Fresno State University, where he is studying ag business, and he is a former chapter president from El Capitan High School in Merced, California, and National Star Farmer. Willis, welcome to the show. Thank you so much for coming on.
Well, thank you for having me.
Now, how long have you been part of the FFA?
I was part of FFA going into my freshman year of high school. First thing I wanted to sign up, I wanted to take my class so I could be an FFA, because I did 4-H when I was younger, and I always wanted to be an FFA member and really get involved in the FFA. So as soon as I signed up, went to high school, signed up for an FFA class.
Okay. Now, how did you get involved in being an officer and being on the officer team?
Well, to be honest, at first I didn't really want to be an officer. I just wasn't me. I was my freshman year. I was a really shy student. I tried to sit in back of the classes, and I just wanted to show goats, maybe compete on a team. When my ag teacher pulled me aside, hey, we're going to have a livestock judging team. I think you should be really good at it. You should join it. Yeah, I joined it and slowly built my confidence up, which the FFA helps out with a lot. And I built it up, and then they said, you know what? I want to become an officer. I think it'd be really cool to help my chapter and make it, you know, grow and help influence the younger kids who are like me, who came in, who were shy, didn't know anything about FFA or, you know, stuff like that. And to really push them, like, hey, you should get involved. It's a great program. There's a lot of opportunity to take you places. So, you know, try to get involved. So that's how I went from not wanting to be an FFA officer to being the chapter president.
Very cool. All right. Well, let's talk about your supervised agricultural experience. Tell me what you've been doing as National Star Farmer.
Yeah. My SA project is commercial goats and forage. So, hay. I got into it when I was really young. Goats. I showed sheep at the fair, and I didn't. My uncle raised sheep, and so I got in sheep, and then goats started to become more and more popular. And my brother got a goat, a doe for his birthday, and a young buck. My dad got it for him. And we have, like I said, 3-acre ranchette, 2 acres of its irrigated pasture, and I wanted 12 goats for the back 2 acres.
Okay.
And I didn't tell my dad. And he said, "Dad, I want a loan." Right? My dad was crazy enough to lend me the money. I got 12 goats, and then I started buying more goats and selling goats and breeding goats and keeping all my replacements.
Okay.
So now I have goats. I'm over 600 head of does right now.
Wow.
And roughly 300 acres of dry farm ground here in the Central Valley with 10 acres of irrigated ground. And so I have goats in Amarillo County, the city of Plymouth spray fields. Up there, I have a grazing contract with them up there.
Okay.
I have goats around my house. I don't get a pasture, and I also have hay fields around my house. That's all dry farm. And have goats, like I said, around Turlock. That's where our main ranch is, where I store equipment and keep bringing the goats home for the winter. So I have goats all over, and I've got the hay is pretty centralized, but I got goats pretty much all over.
Wow. Okay, so it all started with 12 goats, a dozen goats, and it just kind of blew up from there.
Yes.
Very interesting. Now, do you think that there's a chance that the consumption of goat or Chivon, whatever you want to call it, will ever become mainstream in the United States like beef and chicken and pork?
Yeah, I think so. I think goat compared to beef has less fat on it. You can see it. You take a piece of goat chop and a piece of steak, there's less fat on that goat than there is that piece of beef. You take a goat chop, and it's significantly smaller than an average piece of steak, I would say.
Yeah.
And that's probably about, it's supposed to be the right amount of protein in your diet compared to, everybody likes a good, 16-ounce steak,
right?
But that goat chop is more like what you should be eating, protein-wise on your plate.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's also less, like I said, less fat. There's more protein per ounce. Mm-hmm. I think there's a huge opportunity.
Interesting. Well, I like your business. There's probably a lot of future in doing that, I would think.
Yeah, I mean, that's the plan. As soon as I get out of college, I plan on hitting this full force and really, pushing for my end goal of it being totally vertically integrated. As of right now, I think there's a bright future for my project and for the goat industry as a whole.
Very cool. Well, good for you. And Willis, for another student who's listening, what advice would you have for them? How would they approach landowners who have smaller pieces and they need somebody to take care of it? How would they approach them and convince them they should lease them to them?
People love helping kids out, especially if they're in the ag field themselves.
Yeah.
Because it's like, there's not a lot of young people going into the business, so they love seeing it. Mm-hmm. A lot of my neighbors who, they've seen me, I've seen goats around the neighborhood for 10 plus years now,
mm-hmm.
because I started at a young age and I said, "Hey, we'd like you to have our goats in here, or cows or whatever." So I think as a young FFA student, don't give up on your dream. You just have to find a way. If they say no, then don't be discouraged by it. You just got to look around for the perfect thing. It'll come all together. It takes time, but I've definitely learned that with growing my project.
Very cool. Well, thank you so much for coming on today, and great advice, Willis.
Yes, thank you very much.
For FFA Today, I'm Matt Breckwald.
Well, big thanks to Matt for introducing us to so many of our American stars over the past few weeks. Well, that'll do it for today's show, but if you have something that you'd like to share on the program or an idea for something you'd like to hear more about, just let us know. You can shoot us an email at FFAToday@FFA.org or give us a call, 855-RR on 147. That's 855-776-6147. Until next week, I'm Janet Atkinson with FFA Today on Rural Radio 147, Sirius XM.